is beef or chicken. Lower in cholesterol and fat than chicken and higher in protein than beef, buffalo is becoming a popular substitute. It contains zinc and selenium, two must-have minerals for thyroid health. It's loaded with magnesium and potassium and offers essential amino acids our bodies can't produce on their own, like lysine. Lamb is a high-quality protein source that is also rich in micronutrients such as iron, zinc, and vitamin B12. Instead of table salt, try pink Himalayan salt. Ditch your table salt. Pink Himalayan salt is packed with more than 84 trace minerals and elements, as opposed to table salt, which is 97.5% sodium chloride with an anti-caking agent. Not good. Excess sodium chloride increases your risk of hypertension, osteoporosis, and kidney disease. Whereas the diversity of elements in pink Himalayan salt creates an electrolyte balance within your body, strengthens your bones, lowers blood pressure, and improves circulation. It also helps you protect the delicate balance of minerals in your cells, avoid excess water retention, and prevent premature aging. Processed foods are loaded with sodium chloride, so limit your processed food intake. And when cooking at home, use some of the less processed choices, including kosher salt, sea salt, and of course, the pink stuff. It tastes amazing. Instead of soy sauce or tamari, try coconut aminos. This is one of my personal favorites. Swapping coconut aminos for both soy sauce and tamari has a number of clean benefits. Coconut aminos are made from coconut sap and natural sea salt. This salty replacement contains 17 amino acids and B vitamins. And ditching soy means eliminating phytoestrogens, phytic acid, and MSG, monosodium glutamate, all of which are bad for you. It also means consuming 700 milligrams less of sodium than you would otherwise if you were using soy sauce or tamari. That's a difference between 36% of your daily recommended sodium intake and a mere 5%. Bloaty sushi hangover be gone. Instead of swordfish, try salmon, tuna, or sardines. Canned, cold water fish, such as tuna, herring, salmon, mackerel, or sardines, are a great source of protein and healthy omega-3 fat. However, some have gotten a bad rep due to their mercury content. Mercury is a neurotoxin that interferes with the brain and nervous system, fertility, and fetal development. The good news is, selenium binds to mercury and prevents it from creating mercury toxicity in your body. So as long as the fish you are eating contains more selenium than mercury, you don't need to worry. Unfortunately, that means swordfish is out, but you don't have to avoid tuna altogether. My suggestion is to mix it up and go for the richest sources of omega-3. Two of the most delicious are salmon and sardines. Sardines are one of the most concentrated sources of omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA, and provide 3 times your daily recommended vitamin B12. If you find it hard to stomach sardines, salmon is a great option to hydrate your cells with omega-3s while lowering your bad triglycerides and cholesterol levels. Instead of cheese made from cow's milk, try goat's, sheep's, or nut milk cheese. Cow dairy, unless organic and 100% grass-fed, contains antibiotics and growth factors that are intended to grow baby cows, not humans. Regular consumption of cow dairy can result in IBS and may exacerbate asthma, other respiratory and sinus disorders, and some skin conditions. Goat's and sheep's milk cheeses are two delicious swaps that don't come with all the potential baggage. Plus, they are lower in lactose. Fermented nut milk cheese, such as the almond cream cheese substitute from Kite Hill, is a great way to get a little protein, good bacteria, and cheesy flavor without the dairy. It may sound a little different, but trust me, even my cheddar-loving husband digs it. Instead of rice, try amaranth, millet, or quinoa. In 2012, an article in Consumer Reports revealed that there were unsafe levels of arsenic in more than 60 varieties of rice. A subsequent article in 2014 reconfirmed these findings by testing an additional 128 samples. Arsenic is linked to an increased risk of bladder, lung, and skin cancer. It accumulates in the outer layers of rice, which are removed to make white rice. As a result, brown rice may contain 80% more arsenic than white varieties. Furthermore, arsenic levels may vary by region and types of rice. White basmati rice from California and sushi rice have 38% less arsenic than white rice from Arkansas, Texas, and Louisiana, which offer among the highest levels. So save your rice for sushi nights and pick up a clean California-grown rice for your home. Alternative grains to rice, such as amaranth, millet, and quinoa, all contain significantly less arsenic than rice. These ancient non-GMO options are also rich in fiber. Instead of conventional wine, try organic wine. Natural, organic, and biodynamic wine is the way to go if you like your vino. These are free of added sulfites, fructose, and pesticides. Sulfites are naturally occurring in wine, but nowadays they're added in large quantities to enhance flavor, complexity, and depth. Choose wine without added sulfites when you can, because these compounds are what cause broken capillaries, sinus mucus, headaches, swelling, sneezing, rashes, and acne. Furthermore, the dirty little secret of winemakers is the addition of high fructose grape juice concentrate, called Mega Purple, to increase palatability. But it also increases your waistline. And do I need to explain why you shouldn't drink pesticides? Wink. Looking for a good source of organic wine? Check out www.dryfarmwines.com. Instead of cream in your coffee, add coconut oil, coconut milk, or nut milk. If you're looking to avoid cow dairy, you should. But still love a frothy latte? Blend 1 tablespoon of coconut oil or coconut milk into a cup of hot coffee or tea. Coconut oil contains a lot of healthy fat that can help kickstart your metabolism in the morning. When blended, the fat emulsifies into a creamy latte consistency. Thanks, Dave. The coconut flavor won't overpower the coffee. It will add just the slightest hint of sweetness. If you opt for a nut milk latte, make it unsweetened. Sadly, Starbucks coconut milk doesn't count. Here are some other quickfire swaps to try out. Instead of white potatoes, try parsnips and cauliflower. Mashed or roasted, they make a great, less starchy replacement that will still fill you up. Instead of wheat pasta, try zoodles or spaghetti squash. These are delicious veggie replacements for starchy pasta noodles. You add taste and fiber to your noodle dish while avoiding gluten and non-fibrous carbohydrates. Save the pasta night for an anniversary dinner, a European vacation, or your mom's famous holiday lasagna. And remember, the pasta servings in Italy are much smaller than the usual American carb fest. Instead of crackers with your dips, try radish slices or cucumber, bell pepper, or parsnip sticks. This will help cut down on sodium, carbohydrates, and sugar. They'll also fill you up due to the water content and fiber, helping you eat less overall. Instead of regular mayonnaise, try avocado oil mayonnaise. It adds great texture and flavor in chicken, salmon, and tuna salad. Instead of regular eggs, try organic, cage-free, and omega-3 eggs. Always. The chickens are fed flax, and their eggs provide us with an anti-inflammatory boost. Instead of regular crackers, try high-fiber crackers made with chia and flax. They lower your glucose response and increase daily fiber intake. Instead of regular hummus, try blending your own and lightening it up with veggies. Mix in spinach, zucchini, or avocado to lighten it up while adding fat, fiber, and greens. Meal prep hacks. I understand that some of you don't have the time, inclination, or interest to cook at home on a daily basis. And while I promise you that the recipes you'll find in Chapter 6 are really easy, I get it. We all enjoy going to lunch, brunch, and dinner with friends and colleagues. We can all get stuck in schedules of long hours and too little time or energy at the end of the day to delight in making a meal. So, with that in mind, here's a list of my favorite hacks for eating in situations where you might have less control. Create an inventory of takeout or delivery menus from establishments serving clean food, so when you get hungry, you have good go-to choices at the ready. Keep lists of local restaurants in various categories, different cuisines, and expense levels, where you have clean eating options. If your friends are gathering at a place that might put you off the rails, use a Fab Four smoothie to balance your blood sugar in advance. You'll be able to order something simple from the appetizer menu without going hungry. Become familiar with my recipes that integrate pre-made food, like dishes that include an organic rotisserie chicken you can pick up at the store. You can quickly build a chicken teriyaki bowl with your already prepared protein. The same goes if you want to make takeout sushi, a Fab Four meal. Pick up some hamachi crudo at your favorite grocery store. Add avocado and grapefruit slices, and drizzle with a fave fat sauce. It's an instant Fab Four meal. What's the takeaway here? Again, you're relying on light structure in your approach to eating so you can enjoy eating food without getting too restrictive. Beware of these items. Seed oils. Almost exclusively omega-6, these oils have replaced a number of trans fats over the last decade. Eating an excessive amount of omega-6 disrupts the balance of omegas in your body and will lead to increased inflammation. Try your best to avoid sauces, dressings, and foods that contain the following oils: safflower, sunflower, corn, soybean, cottonseed, grapeseed, and canola. Read your labels. Parabens. These chemical preservatives have been on lists of what to avoid in beauty products for years, but food labels remain somewhat of an uncharted territory. Sure, if you're a clean-eating, whole-food-devoted health nut who avoids all processed foods, food labels don't even concern you. But most of us often encounter unknown ingredients on food labels. So continue to eat clean as much as you can. Stock up on healthy essentials like organic coconut oil and raw apple cider vinegar, and avoid these preservatives when grocery shopping. They're very unnatural-sounding words on food labels with E numbers and ingredients that contain the word paraben, such as methylparaben, E218, ethylparaben, E214, propylparaben, E216, heptylparaben, E209, and butylparaben. Isoflavones. Isoflavones are estrogen-like compounds found in foods such as peanuts, chickpeas, alfalfa sprouts, fava beans, and soy foods that can cause reproductive problems, weight gain, and fatigue. In small naturally occurring quantities of peanuts, chickpeas, alfalfa, sprouts, and fava beans, there is nothing to worry about. Soy products, on the other hand, can contain 10 to 60 times the isoflavone quantity of those foods. Research shows that isoflavones in large quantities can prevent ovulation and stimulate cancerous cell growth. Not only is soy potentially harmful to your reproductive system, it's also not great for your skin. It's full of phytoestrogens that can cause breakouts and hormonal blemishes around the mouth and jawline. I'm pretty particular about this one. Soy is not a health food. BPA and BPO. Harmful chemicals can still be found hiding in BPA-free plastics, since some manufacturers have simply replaced BPA with BPO. These chemicals bind to the estrogen that is naturally occurring in the body and, in effect, increase the amount of estrogen in the bloodstream. Medical research suggests that an increase in estrogen can interfere with your libido and reproductive organs and even result in weight gain. Heat and sunlight on plastic water bottles exacerbate the negative effects of these chemicals. So think twice before leaving a water bottle to bake in your car. Or better yet, opt for reusable glass bottles to avoid these harmful effects. Monosodium glutamate, MSG. This additive in processed and fast foods is meant to add flavor, but in reality, it just masks the true taste of the food. MSG is a manufactured chemical, made in part from the amino acid glutamic acid, and acts as a contaminant on the body. Glutamate is essential for cognitive function. It acts as a stimulant and signals the messengers in our brain cells to communicate. However, free-bound glutamate ingested in abundance, such as in foods with added MSG, can overexcite the nervous system and cause headaches, migraines, and inflammation. The best way to avoid MSG is to shop the perimeter of the grocery store and avoid any prepackaged, extra salty snacks. But if you do shop those inner aisles, check the labels and avoid this unnecessary ingredient. Carrageenan. Carrageenan can be found in both almond and coconut milk and is often used as a food thickener or stabilizer. Studies suggest that an increase in exposure to carrageenan can cause intestinal inflammation and lead to digestive problems. While the harmful evidence is not overwhelming yet, it's best to avoid carrageenan and double-check the label when buying non-dairy nut milk. Guar gum. A byproduct of the guar bean, guar gum has raised concern due to its prevalence in canned coconut milk. Studies report that consuming guar gum may result in gastrointestinal side effects, such as increased gas and abdominal discomfort. If you have digestive issues, removing guar gum from your diet may improve these symptoms. Staying well on the road, near and far. Travel of any kind can pose a challenge for our diets. Long drives and road trips are full of convenient temptation. Fast food signs, gas station snacks, greasy diners. With healthy options seldom to be found. Work trips and conferences usually entail airports, train stations, dinners and drinks with colleagues, and access to hotel minibars and vending machines. Vacations present their own quandaries. Whether you're traveling domestic or international, you may not have access to a kitchen or the types of clean, organic grocery stores and restaurants you're used to at home. And when you're in vacay mode, the temptation to cut loose and go binge might be hard to resist. Here are some tips that will help keep you in balance without making you crazy. And remember, as soon as you're home, you know how to autocorrect, so you'll be back on track in no time. Start travel days with a full belly. I try to start any travel day with a full belly. If you leave home hungry, it can be just too tempting to grab junk or fast food as you run through the airport or at a rest stop. Eating poorly at the beginning of a trip can set you up for days of bad eating, so prepare for day one appropriately. My favorite pre-travel breakfast at home is the spa day smoothie found on the enhancement, loaded with extra greens and half an avocado. If you know your airport has restaurants that offer clean meals for lunch and dinner, then by all means, go for it. LAX, my hometown airport, has recently added some reliable options. But remember, you want to create the closest mix of the Fab Four formula: protein, fat, fiber, and greens. Another option is to leave home a bit early and drop by your local grocery store to pick up a clean meal at the salad bar, hot bar, or deli that you know will taste good and fill you up on your flight. On the way home, I try to eat a satisfying Fab Four meal, such as a veggie omelet with avocado or a salmon salad. If you've indulged yourself on a trip, you can be tempted to jump into deprivation mode, but that's a mistake. Odds are that when you finally walk in the front door, you'll be tired and hangry, craving sugar, high-carbohydrate comfort foods. As with any other day, the key is to start your body with enough protein, fat, and fiber to hold you over between meals and keep your blood sugar balanced. Have good travel snacks handy. As I mentioned earlier, I prefer eating filling meals over quick-fix snacks and generally advise my clients not to make snacks their go-to travel meal option. Snacks can be little triggers of temptation that can set off a blood sugar spike and inevitable crash. Remember that crazy up and down cycle we were trying to flatten out? Snacks tend to interrupt that peaceful wave we are trying to create. All that said, travel can sometimes throw you out of whack through no fault of your own. So I do recommend that you travel prepared with a few approved snacks. My go-to flight or driving snacks are hard-boiled eggs, nut packs, almond butter packs with celery slices, or a bag of sliced or diced water-rich veggies, such as cucumbers. I also bring protein powder packets and a shaker bottle. In fact, I never leave home without my go-to Fab Four smoothie kit. See the enhancement for details. It's so easy to snag an iced coffee or a tea and shake it with some protein to help bridge me to my next meal. Eating out. Traveling typically entails eating out at restaurants. So how do you manage that a few days in a row? I start my day with either a smoothie or an almond or coconut butter travel pack from Artisana. No added sugar or palm oil. Or if the breakfast looks exceptionally delicious, I enjoy eggs from the buffet. Depending on how hungry I am, I make lunch a salad with as many crunchy vegetables as possible. But again, you need to include a healthy fat with your salad, a side of avocado, olives, nuts, or a clean dressing. I find dinners fairly easy, usually because there's more to choose from. I always select an entree that features a protein, grilled fish or red meat that I know is local and or organic. I watch the sides as they are often full of starchy carbohydrates. And if possible, I pair the protein with at least two vegetables, such as a mixed salad and roasted veggies. If you're staying in one location for more than 3 or 4 days, you can do some light homework. If possible, and language barriers are not a problem, choose at least one restaurant that offers you clean food dishes. You might also check out travel or food bloggers covering the area. I found awesome restaurants that offer delicious, clean food and gluten-free dishes. The last time I was in Rome, I was even able to find a gluten-free pasta bar. The best strategy for keeping yourself on an even keel while traveling is simply making clean food choices when you're in a restaurant that you have not researched beforehand. Instead of fried dishes, choose grilled. Instead of sautéed veggies, ask for them to be steamed or grilled. In my experience, you can make these polite requests in any language. If you're poolside on vacation, politely ask for some simple swaps. If they're serving guac with chips, ask for crudité instead. If you'd love a burger, ask for it to be lettuce-wrapped or to come without the bun. When it comes to room service, the same swap mentality can apply. You can also ask them to skip the morning breadbasket, jellies, or even ketchup. What happens if your travels take you to someone's home, such as your in-laws or your great-aunt Marguerite's? First, remember that family is family, so you should feel empowered to tell them what you eat and don't eat. But be proactive and offer to bring a salad, a clean entree, or a veggie side. This is a polite gesture that signals that you're taking care of yourself and not burdening them unduly. And who knows, they may love the food and want to know more about your clean eating lifestyle. Treat yourself, but wisely. While on vacation, don't be afraid to enjoy yourself. That's the point. Vacation is a time for decompressing, recharging, and living outside your usual life. If you're in a foreign country, kick back and enjoy the specialties of the area. In Italy, gelato. In France, pan au chocolat. In Mexico, fresh tortilla chips and guacamole. These indulgences are good for the soul. But if you don't want to come home feeling bloated, irritable, and heavier, then there are ways to keep yourself in balance even while relaxing. On vacation, my favorite indulgence is wine or a cocktail. When I have a drink or two, I pass on dessert. It's about making wise choices in the moment and savoring what you do choose. Remember, if you're living in a restrictive diet mentality, you are much more likely to go off plan completely. Excuses such as, "I'll eat whatever I want today and start the diet tomorrow," just set you up to crave and cave. Think of treats as either satisfying tastes that you enjoy or a glass of something special to relax you. Move your body. On vacation, I also try to include exercise and movement every day. If I'm touring, that means walking instead of taking a taxi. If I'm at a resort, I swim, sign up for a fitness class, or hit the gym on my own. If I'm at the beach, I take a long walk or run in the sand. I'm not super strict, but I know that I feel better when I break a sweat and get even 20 to 30 minutes of exercise every day. Vacation is my downtime, but it's also about doing what I love, which includes moving my body. Travel checklist. 1. Smoothie. Protein packets, 1.5 per day, a shaker bottle, and a Ziploc bag of chia seeds. 2. Mini fat packs. Nut butters, coconut butter, and coconut oil. Number 3. Bridge snacks. Individual nut packs, chopped veggies, and approved bars. 4. Sleep. Earplugs, eye mask, lavender essential oil. 5. Skin. Calendula oil, lip balm, and hydration spray. Have your fun without losing your balance. Planning for parties and holidays. Making it through a party or a long holiday season without a little indulgence is practically impossible. The best way to stay balanced and still enjoy yourself is by getting used to a few strategies. Play detective. How many times do you check ingredients and menus before a work lunch? Being similarly prepared for a party or event allows you to make decisions ahead of time and stick to your guns. So ask some questions. Will there be a full meal or past appetizers only? Will there be beer and wine or a full bar? Is it a potluck? If so, you're in luck. Bring a guilt-free plate, such as a shareable green salad, chicken skewers with coconut aminos, or veggie crudité. The pre-party smoothie, aka the roadie. Arrive at parties feeling balanced by ingesting 15 to 20 grams of protein in a Fab Four smoothie before the party. Protein and fat help to balance blood sugar and make us feel satiated. This strategy helps you not to feel ravenous, so you don't grab the first deep-fried appetizer without thinking. My clients affectionately coin this technique the roadie and enjoy a light protein smoothie on the way to their events. It works for showers, weddings, and work dinners, as well as press events, red carpets, and galas. Arriving with balanced blood sugar allows you to feel calm so you can avoid the party pitfalls or sugar-laden desserts and appetizers. Commit to a game plan. Devising a plan allows you to relax and enjoy the company of friends or colleagues. If you have a hard time committing, write your plan down in your Fab Four notebook before you go, or let a friend know your plan. Dr. Gail Matthews, a psychology professor at Dominican University in California, did a study on goal setting with 267 participants. She found that you are 42% more likely to achieve your goals just by writing them down. So how do you figure out your game plan? In advance, decide what you know will make you comfortable. If you're going to a wedding or party, maybe you commit to one no-sugar cocktail, one plate of food, and one clean piece of dark chocolate. Deciding in advance will help you pass on the hors d'oeuvres, tray, and endless buffet. If the party or gathering is at a restaurant, take a look at the menu online before you go. That way you can decide on what you're going to eat and not go off course if someone else chooses to eat less clean. Earn your alcohol. Make a pact with yourself that you will work out the day of the event or the day after. A little hangover can throw you off your game and get you out of your healthy routine. The perfect time to work out would be 2 to 3 hours before the event, followed by hair and makeup and a roadie if needed. If you don't have time to work out right before the event, no sweat. Just try before work or midday. It's all about staying active and making room in your muscles to suck up the extra holiday glucose. Limit libations. The easiest way to hydrate and take a deep breath is to make your first drink alcohol-free. Grab a soda water with lemon or a flat water right when you get there. This technique allows you to work through your first few party jitters without sucking down a cocktail too quickly. It is also nice to survey the party and recommit to your game plan. You might even decide that you don't want to drink at this party. Starting with water is also sometimes easier than trying to put the wine down. Find what works for you. A sparkling water intermission is also a good strategy. Throw in a lemon or a lime to give it some flavor. Appropriate appetizers. Appetizers can quickly add up to a full meal, and some fried options can be a real starch bomb. If you know you'll enjoy the main course, politely decline the small morsels. If you had your roadie, this should be a cakewalk. However, if you are in need of a little sustenance, go for a protein-based appetizer. The best options include anything that belongs on a seafood tower, a mini lamb chop, or a chicken skewer. The veggie tray and hummus can be a great option, just don't overdo it. Avoid fried food, quiche, and flatbread, which spike blood sugar and contribute to insulin resistance, inflammation, and weight gain. If the appetizers are set up on a table, grab a small plate and fill it once. Remember, you are there to spend time with friends, network, or celebrate, so try to enjoy the conversation instead of the crab cakes. Dessert or don't. As I mentioned earlier, I suggest that you make a choice between alcohol and dessert so you don't compound your blood sugar. But that doesn't mean foregoing pleasure. Many of my clients are actually surprised when I tell them that a small piece of dark chocolate is a better option than a fruit plate. Party goers who choose fruit allow themselves a pretty large portion when one bite of chocolate would hit the spot without the added fructose. Unfortunately, 100% of fructose is metabolized in the liver, and with alcohol and fructose both filtering there, we are taxing the body with heavy post-party detoxification duties. Since you don't know if chocolate will be offered, keep a small piece in your fridge or some freezer fudge at home. Just knowing you can indulge later will keep you motivated to pass on the added sugar at the party. Do what's right for you. Many times we eat out of anxiety, habit, or politeness. We end up swallowing foods that don't agree with us or give us food guilt, or worse, we eat foods we don't even like. I recommend that you remember what you love and politely decline what doesn't agree with you. This takes practice, but it always helps to be the first to respond. Make eye contact with the server and politely decline so you don't jump on the bandwagon with everyone else. Avoid making excuses about why you aren't eating the crab cake or cupcake. You don't owe anyone a justification or explanation about why you prefer not to eat gluten or dairy, and you certainly don't have to manufacture an intolerance or celiac diagnosis, for instance. No is a complete sentence. Unfortunately, however, everyone these days seems to have a lot to say about how and what people eat, or choose not to eat. In these situations, simply smile, remark that eating in this way makes you feel better, and change the topic. Avoiding hangovers. I love a glass of wine to relax and have fun. I don't want to deprive you of your wine, beer, or cocktails. Nor do I want you unable to move or needing a breakfast burrito when you wake up. Here are some tips for you to enjoy yourself without triggering that hateful, hurtful hangover. 1. Hydrate before you go out. Hangovers are caused by dehydration, Alcohol acts as a diuretic on your body, taking away fluid. So before you head out for the evening, give your body a lot of fluid. Drink several glasses of water, or better yet, hydrate up with a fat-4 smoothie. 2. Eat before you go out. Just as when I travel, I like to eat before an evening of revelry. I have a smoothie or fab-4 meal, so I get into balanced blood sugar, with enough fat and protein to sustain me. Having this in your system will keep you from spiking and crashing from the sugar and alcohol, and will help to break down acetaldehyde, one of the culprits behind a hangover. 3. Choose clear and naturally sugar-free, not diet, beverages as much as possible. Dark-colored drinks, such as bourbon, whiskey, and fruit-laden mixtures, have more chemical compounds called congeners, chemical byproducts of alcohol fermentation process, than their light-colored cousins, such as tequila or vodka. Aging substances in darker alcohols include small amounts of chemicals such as methanol, acetone, acetaldehyde, esters, tannins, and aldehydes. Red wine contains tannins, compounds that can trigger headaches for some women and men. Malt liquors, such as whiskey, can trigger hangovers that tend to be more intense. 4. Boost your vitamins. Consider drinking an electrolyte vitamin drink, like Oxalate or HG, or taking a pre-post drinking supplement to support your body to naturally detoxify. Charcoal pills, Flyby, or Drink Smart. I don't recommend sugary sports drinks. Drinking depletes your level of glutathione, which is a naturally occurring antioxidant and cell protector that aids the body's ability to defend against alcohol's toxins. Certain studies point to a combination of vitamin C plus vitamin B, along with specific amino acids and glucose, to boost your glutathione levels. This might be the year to get your glutathione levels checked. If that's your hangover culprit, why suffer more than you have to? 5. Sweat it out or sleep it off. Working out might release endorphins and make you feel better about your alcohol indulgences, but sweating can make dehydration worse. If you're really feeling it, sleeping it off can actually be a healthier choice. But I understand needing to move, so if you do opt to work out, aim to drink at least 24 ounces of water per hour. Chapter 9. Vibrancy. You know that friend who walks into a party and is just glowing? It's not her clothes, the shape of her body, or who she's with that captivates you. It's her, her being, her energy. You might find yourself staring, soaking in the almost tangible good vibes that are beaming out of her. She's the woman who seems lit from within, emanating a bright shimmer that not only attracts others, but gives the entire room a boost of positive energy and a sense of well-being. She's magnetic, and her energy is infectious. That, my friends, is the quality of vibrancy, a sense of inner vitality and positive, healthy energy. The Chinese call this life force or aliveness qi. It's that certain something, or je ne sais quoi, that emerges from taking care of ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually. One of the goals of the fab-4 lifestyle is to stoke your inner vitality and vibrancy. As your body adapts to the balance of blood sugar, your hormones stabilize, and your metabolism begins to settle into a rhythm that keeps your energy level throughout the day. You will naturally begin to nurture an inner brightness of your own. It's one of the amazing results of finding or rediscovering body equilibrium. I can still remember those days when I felt like I was always fighting not to eat and was restricting my meals. I was constantly hungry and never stopped thinking about food. I was always on some diet or just finishing a diet. When I stopped fighting my body, everyone noticed. My family and friends couldn't believe how much more energy I had. They said I glowed. It was an awesome feeling not to be so distracted by food anymore. In this chapter, you're going to learn how you can add other lifestyle factors to amp up your qi and stoke this inner fire of vitality. Rethinking stress. If there's one thing to kill that glow, it's with stress. Stress comes from everywhere. Work, relationships, health, family, finances, traffic. It racks our nerves, creates anxiety and worry, and ultimately robs us of our energy. The good news is that when we actively learn to manage our stress, we can actually use it as a way to prime our attention, focus our energy, and even revitalize ourselves. It may seem counterintuitive, but you've felt it before. The weight lifts, the road ahead clears, and your anxiety fades in the rearview mirror. You show up at that party, and you're that girl, the one emanating positivity, the bolt of lightning. By proactively managing stress, you can convert it into breakthroughs, victories, and growth. That's how you get your glow back. Success over stress. To be honest, managing your stress is your only option. It's not going away. You can't shelter yourself or hide from it, or ignore it and hope it magically disappears. Those are fantasies. And if you let it start to consume and overtake you, then your brain and body will be wasting valuable energy. Wouldn't you rather the energy be devoted to something else? Like, say, digestion or burning fat? The reality is that stress is here to stay. So you have to figure out how to conquer and convert it. Otherwise, you'll exist in a state of tension, dread, and paralysis by analysis. For me, vibrancy is really about stress management, so that our brain and bodies don't zap our chi. My go-to stress reducers and keys to vibrancy? Communication, exercise, meditation, sleep, and sex. Communication. Let it all hang out. Why do it alone? And by it, I mean life and all that it throws at you. It's healthy to communicate and express how you feel, and let yourself openly emote to the people in your life who you trust and are close to. Your friends and family can listen, commiserate, and offer you valuable perspective on what you're going through. I can't get through life without talking it out, working it out, or crying it out. At times, I feel like I'm oversharing, but holding it in just leaves me replaying the stress, pain, or situation over and over again. Did you know a burst of emotion lasts only 90 seconds? If you're repeatedly feeling an emotion until you're in emo mode, you're going to find yourself in a self-destructive loop. Bottling it up is dangerous too. When have you done that and not eventually exploded? And of course, you might turn to unhealthy food to comfort and console you. Food may provide a temporary escape or reprieve. But trust me, you can't eat your way out of stress. So, find a person, a friend, sibling, parent, therapist, or partner who you can talk to about what's stressing you out and who can help you work through your emotions. Exercise. How movement sustains you. I know, you really don't need or want another person to tell you that exercise is good for you, right? I know you know, but it's worth repeating. Sweating equals less stress, and exercise boosts your metabolism, helps you lose weight, and keeps your body and brain healthy. I'll acquaint you with some basic science behind exercise, which I think will help motivate you to add some physical activity into your life. You don't have to train for an Ironman triathlon, go heavy into CrossFit, or put yourself through grueling 7-day-a-week workouts. But consistently incorporating some form of exercise as a part of your Fab Four lifestyle will pay huge dividends, both physically and in terms of reducing your overall stress levels. In its most basic form, exercise can either be aerobic or anaerobic, and we need both for optimum fitness. Aerobic exercise gets your heart pumping and the oxygen flowing through your cardiovascular system, your lungs, heart, and blood. Think cardio. Any form of exercise that raises your heart rate for an extended period of time is considered to be aerobic. Distance walking, jogging, or running, swimming, cycling spin, rowing, sustained time on the elliptical machine, cross-country skiing, vinyasa yoga, and even tai chi. Aerobic exercises tend to emphasize endurance and stamina, and are usually considered less intense than anaerobic exercise. Aerobic exercise strengthens your heart and lungs, burns fat, and reduces your risk of diabetes. Aerobic exercise uses oxygen to fuel the exertion. Keep in mind that getting into fat burning range isn't as easy as running out your front door. Most people run too hard and run out of oxygen or fuel incorrectly. If you're a runner, consider working with a lab to get your exact aerobic range and use a heart rate monitor to help you stay in range. If you are just looking to add a little cardio to help burn fat, the best time to do it aerobically is first thing in the morning on an empty stomach or after a 20-minute weight training workout. Anaerobic exercises are short, intense bursts of activity in which your oxygen levels aren't sufficient to help fuel the exertion. Exercises that use your muscles at high intensity for a short period of time are considered anaerobic. Weightlifting, kettlebells, resistance training, jumping rope, sprinting, downhill skiing, or 1 to 3 minutes of boxing or kickboxing. With intense exertion, there's a limited amount of oxygen available. The body must then turn to muscles for their stored glycogen. Because anaerobic workouts target muscle growth, they're the best choice if your fitness goals center on strength, muscle mass, or overall protection of your skeleton and bones. A lot of my female clients are reluctant to do any weightlifting or kettlebell exercises for fear of bulking up or gaining weight. But listen to me, ladies. Lifting weights or using your body weight for resistance consistently will always help you lean, lengthen, and tighten. In addition, muscle strength stokes your metabolism. A pound of muscle burns 50 to 75 calories a day, where a pound of fat burns only up to 5. Gaining strength will give you the most food freedom. Adding an anaerobic kettlebell routine might mean you weigh a pound more, but just watch your jean size go down. If you aren't hitting goals, focus on strength in the gym, or squats, lunges, and planks at home to help you build your muscle mass. My trainer, Mike Alexander of MadFit, says, "Most bulk is not muscle, it's fat. If you can pinch it, you can lose it." So remember, you will not bulk. Despite the distinction between aerobic and anaerobic exercise, almost all activities and sports usually use both systems. Think of your muscles as your gas tanks. When you exercise, you draw from your tanks and use glycogen as energy. When your tanks are empty, your body will burn fat as fuel. But if you can't access fat storage fast enough, it's a slower process and can cause you to hit the wall. Further, you won't burn fat if you are using sugary drinks, gels, and bars because your body will prioritize that easily available fuel. And in addition, the presence of insulin will prevent lipolysis, fat breakdown. If you're an athlete or marathoner, I recommend you can superstarch products, which slowly release fuel, keep blood glucose balanced, and prevent high blood sugar spikes and excess insulin. A good example of exercises that combine aerobic and anaerobic benefits are high-intensity interval training, aka HIIT. Activities such as spin or CrossFit and yoga classes that include weights. These types of exercises include sustained cardio movement as well as bursts of strengthening with weights. The same goes for sports like soccer, tennis, basketball, and football. Sprinting, dodging, and jumping, as well as longer periods of sustained running or movement that combine both anaerobic and aerobic conditioning. Such combo exercises, such as HIIT, have an added bonus because anaerobic activities produce excess post-exercise oxygen consumption, or EPOC, informally called afterburn. They keep your body burning calories after you finish your workout. EPOC occurs so that your body can replenish its oxygen supply. It's as if your body is going for a light jog, even though you aren't after lifting. The bottom line, choose exercises that challenge your muscles while also getting your heart pumping and strengthening your endurance and stamina. Thankfully, the majority of classes and workouts today incorporate both aerobic and anaerobic exercise and can be done at any time of the day. Together, this combo will keep you toned, energetic, and insulin sensitive. Cardio activities will not only keep your heart healthy, but also burn fat. Balancing cardio with strength training and high-intensity activities will help you build tone, strength, and metabolism. Movement to shift your mindset. One of the fastest ways to change your mental state is through movement. Tony Robbins is known for explaining how using your physiology can biochemically change how you feel. Emotion is created by motion. Basically, we can use movement to actually change our mental and emotional state. Starting your day with a walk, jog, yoga class, or another form of light aerobic exercise allows you to not only physically move, but also emotionally move the negative, unaligned thoughts from your mind. Plus, getting out the door and moving before breakfast gives you the tank dumping, muscle strengthening, and insulin sensitivity benefits mentioned before. It works any time of day. My go-to for de-stressing and shifting out of a mental and emotional funk zone is an afternoon or evening yoga class. I like vinyasa flow classes with upbeat music that makes me want to sing. Not only does yoga reduce training-induced stress, but it increases flexibility, muscle strength, and muscle tone, all while improving respiration, energy, and vitality. Try it. You might love it. In my experience, yoga and spin instructors get you moving, infuse you with positivity, and give you that spark of inspiration to conquer life's challenges. What do you like to do? We all have different exercise preferences. My advice is to move and work out the way you like to, whether it's lifting at the gym, twerking it out in a dance class, or jogging around the neighborhood. And don't be afraid to try something new. You'll be surprised by the different muscle groups you work when you try something like Pilates, yoga, or resistance training. The key is to be consistent. I change up what I do all the time, but I get moving at least 5 days a week. Honestly, that's the most consistent part of my exercise routine. One way to encourage your consistency is to pay in advance. Workout apps, online guides, and membership-based workout classes that make you sign up and pay ahead of time are great tools for motivation. But in order to really get in the habit of regular workouts, you've got to enjoy what you're doing and/or those you're doing it with. That's why I gravitate to yoga and spin. The music is good. I feed off the other class members' energy, and I find the instructors give some of the best, soulful life advice. Nowadays, we have so many options. You're bound to find at least a couple of activities that are fun and motivate you. Making it fun means making it consistent. What do you enjoy? Walking, jogging, running, hiking, HIIT, yoga, cycling, spin, swimming, home workouts, Pilates, CrossFit, weightlifting, kettlebells, dance, bar method classes, kickboxing, or sports like soccer, tennis, or basketball? Cue into the kinds of exercise you actually enjoy, and then do some research on what kinds of classes, sports, or workouts offer the same kind of enjoyment. If you live in a city that has ClassPass, it might be a great way to find something new. You pay once monthly and get to try new gyms and different classes. I've done this a few times when I get bored or plateau. Everyone plateaus, by the way. Or if I'm going to stay in another city for a week. Here's a quick quiz to help you figure out what you like and what you don't. Use your responses to follow the dots. 1. Do you like to spend time outdoors? 2. Do you like participating in team sports? 3. Does working out with others motivate or discourage you? 4. Would you rather work out less than 30 minutes, more often, or less often? 5. When you were in the playground as a child, where were you most likely to be found? The swings, playing tag, hopscotch, the rings, climbing. 6. Do you like to sweat? 7. Do you like to exert yourself and feel your heart pumping? 8. Do you like to move slowly with long stretches? 9. Do you like to beat your last performance? 10. Do you like to spend time alone? 11. Do you like to walk and talk at the same time? 12. Do you like to shop by yourself or with a friend? 13. Do you like to follow someone or make up your own routine? 14. Do you prefer having long, slender muscles or a strong, sturdy body? 15. Do you like to try new things or do you have tried and trues you love? Great post-workout bridge snacks. One of the benefits of HIIT and weightlifting is how they stoke your metabolism, EPOC, and help you burn fat and use excess sugar that's floating around in your blood. You're also storing some of this excess sugar as glycogen in your muscles. So when you work out, you bring down your blood sugar. But working out hard means you sometimes need a post-workout bridge snack to get you to the next meal, or as a way to help add muscle mass. Although I generally dissuade my clients from snacking, if you aren't going to eat a real meal within 90 to 120 minutes or are looking to build strength, I recommend these delicious and protein-rich snacks. Half-size Fab 4 smoothie, like a roti, with 10 to 15 grams of protein. Chocolate chia seed pudding. If you're looking for something a little more solid, try this recipe. It's one of my clients' favorite snacks. Unbelievably easy to make and includes the benefits of the roti. 1. Mix 1 scoop of chocolate protein powder with 1 cup of unsweetened almond milk. 2. Add 1 tablespoon of MCT oil or coconut oil and 1 tablespoon of chia seeds. 3. Shake it up, then refrigerate. After about an hour, It should have a pudding consistency. Enjoy. Salmon salad on cucumber slices, also in the enhancement. This snack will boost your body's omegas, satisfy your belly and your bloodstream, and restore your energy after a serious workout. Apples, or celery or berries, and nut butter. I like saving my fruit consumption of the day for my daily smoothie or dessert, or after I work out. Apples and almond butter are one of my go-to after weights, HIIT, or anaerobic workout classes. This delicious snack serves up a dose of protein and fat on a carbohydrate and fiber-dense apple slice. You're getting macronutrients and sweet, salty, and crunchy goodness all in one bite. Half an avocado stuffed, one of my new faves. Here are some tantalizing combinations to try on top of half an avocado. One scoop of egg, tuna, or salmon salad, 2 tablespoons of your favorite hummus, 1 baked egg. Meditation. Meditation isn't just for monks. It's for everyone. There's a ton of different ways to try it. You can do it on your own, with an app, or online course. Join a group, or go to a studio, or even find a teacher to work with you one-on-one. Whatever works best for you, your style, and your schedule. And meditation isn't just some fad or hippy-dippy fluff. There's very real science that has demonstrated its amazing health benefits. Recent studies suggest that meditation both decreases cortisol levels, the stress hormone, and improves your overall stress response. It can also increase the levels of some of our most important neurotransmitters, dopamine and serotonin, the reward and happy hormones that elevate our moods and literally make us feel happier, sans cupcake, and acetylcholine, which is a memory and learning booster. Meditation calms the nervous system without triggering your adrenals. The effect is heightened awareness, a sense of well-being, and a boost in memory and learning. Meditation has also been shown to have other tangible health benefits, such as improved immunity, lower inflammation, and decreased pain. Further, brain imaging studies show meditation increases gray matter in the brain, sharpens attention, and improves memory. Transcendental meditation, chanting, Zen or seated meditation with an instructor, or primordial sound meditation, vibrational sound, can make meditation seem intimidating. But there are some easier gateway types of meditation that can help you get into it. Like eating your Fab Four and working out, you don't need to be perfect or a professional. You just need to be consistent. Try the next 2 methods, which I'll describe. See which one piques your interest. Need to be held accountable? Download an app like Calm, Omvana, Headspace, or OMG, I Can Meditate to stay consistent. Mindfulness meditation. This classic style of meditation is the gateway to all other forms.